Today is Thursday, 14th of July. I am at the Islamic University of Ghana, and I'll be having conversation with the registrar, Mr. Gbandamoshi. I'm going to let him introduce himself and provide all the important particulars before we get serious into our conversation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Yes, I'm Alhaji Gbandamoshi. Yes, and I was one time regional director of education in this for the northern region. Then I became, well, prior to that, I was headmaster of Tamale Secondary School. Then I became director of this in education, in charge of the curriculum research and development division of the Ghana Education, at least at the headquarters, Accra. Then later I became director of education in charge of what was called manpower then. Then after that I became the deputy director general and then eventually the director general of education. I have since retired and I'm now the registrar of the Islamic University College. I have been in that position for the past 5 years, since 2000. Yes.
All right. From our research work, you are very instrumental in the development of transforming the traditional Islamic schools into a modernized secular Islamic component. What was the idea behind the transformation of the schools into a modern Islamic and secular curriculum?
Well, the reason why it became necessary to actually persuade proprietors to convert their Quranic schools into Islamic schools, which meant into normal secular primary schools, was that the amount of teaching, the amount of education that is gathered, that is given at the Quranic schools is not enough for people to be able to function meaningfully in our present this economic system. You know, that type of education was good enough in the very good, in the long, long, in the pre-colonial days, when the amount of knowledge required to move around was not that complex. But now we now have a complex system, and one needs to have at least basic education, minimum education, to be able to contribute meaningfully in the development of one's community and for improving the life of the individuals and the community life. And that was the reason why effort was made to ask proprietors of Quranic schools to convert their schools into Islamic schools, which would also embody a lot of secular education, which is needed for one to function well in society.
The observation is made around the world where Islamic schools have existed, such as Pakistan and Saudi Arabia, that Muslims are not interested in secular education, and therefore they have become much more isolated in development and thus have reacted negatively to formal education, scientific development, and hence the current crisis in Islam. Is that your perception, that Muslims cannot have secular education and therefore will be a detriment to the community in which they live?
No, actually there's a misconception of what is regarded as secular education and religious education. Secular education is an all-embracing this concept or issue. Education is education, whether Islamic education or religious education or Christian education, or there's no Christian education, there's education. And that education could include all what is taught as religious education. It's an extension of whatever is required to be taught. And one needs all these put together, Islamic education, social education, scientific education, and that kind of thing, to be able to fuse things into one's ideas into a form that becomes helpful for developing the individual, for developing and for pushing the world ahead, and for understanding others. And and for making it possible for people to interrelate in the best interest of the global globe. So it's a mistake to say that there's a misunderstanding that religious education is apart from secular education. It's not. It's a part of it. It's an aspect of this normal secular education. So it's unfortunate that people think that there are two worlds. world of this Islamic education. Well, no, one, the Islamic education is necessarily a part of the general education that one needs to have. So it's unfortunate. I'm sure these people, it's just because there's misunderstanding. If people understood that by actually doing, studying other knowledge and not restricting yourself to only your, this, your the knowledge that is critical in your study, in your faith. If you study other, you might even understand yourself yours better than that, and you begin to see that those you probably label as this as enemies or something, that are friends, and that there's the thing which divide the two is so small compared to what actually unite them. So it's a misunderstanding, and that's what we are trying to disabuse our people about, that this Islamic education is not different from secular education, and that secular people who are not Muslims are also studying studying religious Islamic education as part of the general education that they think they need in order to function properly. Even in this school, for instance, we had a pastor, and a Methodist pastor who is just graduating, you know. And so there's nothing wrong in Islamic scholars also going to other places, particularly Methodist schools, to be able to study what is there. All these are part of one unified knowledge, which is required.
In that sense, when religious education, Christian or Islamic, become part of the curriculum, then students become better citizens of their societies.
Sure. That is actually why we are actually... In fact, we regret that we have named this place Islamic University College. We would have just left it that some other things, so that people do not think that they are coming here to come and do a narrow-minded type of have a narrow-minded type of development. We want people here to have overall development, you know, holistic development in terms of so that there's limitless this field within which they can exercise themselves, their minds.
Well, now that you touch on that topic, let me get you your position as registrar for the Islamic University. Can you tell me a little bit about the university itself?
No, the university itself is actually, the content of the university itself is secular. Mm-hmm. It's not sectarian.
Okay, who established the university?
The university has been established by the Ahlul Bayt Foundation. Are the people who own and support the university. The Ahlul Bayt Foundation is a non-governmental agency of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And I must say that he's the current principal, current president, who is instrumental in starting it, getting the people to understand and to realize that it's more beneficial for Muslims in Ghana and in Africa as a whole to get this university established for expanding their horizon, than just building a few more Quranic schools where they learn a few limited knowledge which doesn't benefit them and doesn't benefit. I'm not saying that Quranic education is non-beneficial. You know, it has its own role.
Yes,
it has a limited role in our complex society, you know, the kind of complex society we now have around the globe.
And that, of course, as registrar, you have to go according to policies of the state education system.
Yes. I mean, the point is that you can't establish a university in Ghana unless you satisfy certain requirements of policy, government policy. You definitely have to settle by the policy requirement of the government, of the Ministry of Education, before you are allowed to open. And you cannot open and do otherwise. So you must do things that will make it possible for you to exist within the policy framework of the...
Can you give me a sense of some of these policies that will help you?
Well, the first thing is that you must have your content must be of such that it can be regarded as being up to university education.
Yes.
Yes. That one will be assessed. I mean, panel members will come and assess to find out whether indeed what you are presenting is really up to the level of university education. You must also make sure that you have the correct faculty to be able to do that. You also have the facilities, say libraries and other requirements which would make it possible for one to be able to offer those programs that you are offering. And then above all, you shouldn't be discriminatory in your selection, because it's government. Yes, you cannot. You are not allowed to discriminate in your policies to such extent that you exclude some others. No, It should be, there shouldn't be any direct policy of excluding anybody.
So the school should be open to
It should be,
Christians and non-Christians
to Christians
and
and
Muslims
everything.
and non-Muslims.
Yes. And I know in some places, I mean, there is subtle effort to try and do this kind of, but it's not allowed.
It's not allowed.
It's not allowed. Yes, yes, as a matter of policy.
And we've gone over this earlier on, but courses that are now accredited for the Islamic University in Ghana.
Well, only the Islamic University, excuse me.
What are the courses and programs accredited already, approved?
Well, in terms of the programs accredited are religious studies, Islamic option. Then we have business administration with specialization in banking and finance, accounting, the marketing. You know, these are the programs that have been accredited for this university for the time being. University College for the time being. And I should draw attention to the fact that we are now a University College affiliated to Legon, in the sense that
to the University of Ghana.
To the University of Ghana, Legon. And the University of Ghana, you know, certifies and gives certificates to our students. And this will go on until we become autonomous.
Autonomous. That's a very good
yes.
development.
Yes.
Actually,
yes.
Breach,
so it shows clearly that there's nothing parochial about what we are doing, because University of Ghana will not offer their degrees to anybody unless they actually do exactly what they are doing.
Okay.
You know, our programs, though they should just be equivalent and not be just a duplication of what they are doing. The equivalences must be there, and standards and things must indicate that it's at the level which they can support for certification.
I have a final question for you. No, in my research on Islamic education, when I've talked to people about what I'm doing, and their concern is that, well, now you have the Makalanta Quranic schools, you have Muslims running JSS, junior secondary schools, you have some senior secondary school Muslim schools, now you have University College of Islam. So it's possible for students who are Muslims to start from kindergarten and go all the way to university level without interacting with Christians and other people in the community. Therefore, it should breed conflict within the society in the future. What is your reaction to that?
No, first of all, when you get here, you will come and meet other people of adherents of other faiths. You cannot actually, assuming even you did, you this all this is true. At the level of coming to you, you will come and meet Christians here, you will meet believers in other faiths and that kind of thing. And that's, you know, as I said earlier on, we did not want to name the thing Islamic University College. We wanted it just to be an Islamic college for everybody. So once you come here, you will, you will meet others. And that will teach you that education is not a parochial thing for only a few people. Now, having said that, the essence of this, in the first place, there is that prejudice all along about this in secular education among the Muslims. And most of these prejudices are still there with some of these people who will not allow their children to get up to university, which they consider incompatible with Islamic
learning.
They think that Islam and higher education are incompatible. And this is one of the things we want to disabuse minds, people's minds about, you know, to let them understand that Islam and this education are compatible. And indeed, Islam enjoins that people must have education to the highest level, to China. And they are saying China because it's far away, because in those days, China actually had that learning tradition, which is not anywhere. So there's no way in which these days you can go all through your education without meeting any other place. In Ghana, the whole thing is so integrated that even if you go through Islamic education unit schools, say JSS, you will actually get other people who are non-Muslims who are attending those institutions. So you can't have a situation where you get through without meeting others. But when finally you come here, one, you will be able to have the facility that will make a Muslim continue practicing whatever, because we have a mosque. We are not forcing anybody to go to mosque, but we have also provided for people who are really convinced that they must go to worship at certain times, according to Islamic practice, according to their belief, because even within that framework, there are different views. But anyway, the mosque that which we all agree, and if you want to pray, you can go there. But if you come as a Christian, you don't want to go to church, nobody will ask you to go to a mosque. We're not going to ask you to take part in any activity that is against your conscience, as a Christian or non-believer or whatever it is. So that one is, but we have succeeded at least in making people understand the fact that Islam and this higher education are compatible. And many parents are now willing, will be willing to, are willing to let their daughters, their children, their girls to attend this university rather than go to any other where they think that they not be given the opportunity to develop the way they want them to do. But when they come here, they have the opportunity, the mosque there, and we insist on the environment being Islamic. We don't allow people to drink, we don't sell alcoholic drinks around here, and we try to be very particular about our moral comportment on the compound here to reassure people that that also is an important aspect of education.
Good. And then, of course, this concept of integration, where does it come from in this particular country?
You mean the integration of this and the various.
Everybody integrated in the religions in Ghana.
No, actually, I think we are lucky. We've never had any serious conflict in terms of religious differences. No. I think it's more, the conflicts are more within the in intra-religious conflict rather than inter-religious conflicts. Say, conflicts within the Muslim communities themselves, because within the different sects of Muslim Islam, and then within the different denominations of Christianity. And but you don't have strong inter-communal religious conflicts. Say, Muslims
Against
yes, against Christians, Christians against non-believers. We don't, it's not very pronounced, if it is at all, but very, and it's dying. So we are really lucky. I must say that, I don't know, it's probably due to the good sense of our religious leaders, religious leaders in the past, and I think that's what is bearing fruit now. You know, you really don't, we are not strongly opposed to one another in terms of religious belief. We mix quite easily. Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I
Thank you.
appreciate it.
Thank
Thank
you.
you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
We need to edit it because
Oh, yeah.
before.